to set aside time lahashpil atzmai, to humble oneself. Liyos nivs eva einav nimas kikasov. Considering himself, and he quotes the verse, Nivze be'enav nimas, despicable and contemptible, as is written in Tehillim, Perek Tasvav, Nivze be'enav nimas, he is despicable and abhorrent in his own eyes, V'leiv nishbar ruach nishbara. And as the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, that ruach nishbara, lev nishbar v'nitke, a broken heart leads to a broken spirit, as Kabbalah explains, hi ha-sitra acher, this is the spirit being the sitra acher from the other side, shehi hi ha-adam atzmai be-beinanim, which in the case of the beinanim, this is the very man himself. So you're not dealing with crushing and being frustrated and busting a bubble, which is foreign and alien, but rather, that sense of breaking and despising himself is closely identified with breaking the sitra achra, because by the beinani, the sitra achra constitutes the very human being. Because shenefesh achiyunis hamachaya haguf, for the vital soul which vitalizes and animates his body, he betakva ketel dasa beliba, is in its full strength as it was at birth in his heart. Nimtza, this means that he are the matzmai. She is indeed the very man himself. What is the character that vitalizes the Beinoni's consciousness and body? It's the animal soul, it's the vital soul. He hasn't rid himself from it, he hasn't transformed itself. So the natural vitalizing consciousness is the soul which stems from Klipa and Sitra Achra. Val nefesh alikis shebay nemar, with regard to the divine soul within him, it is said, neshama shenasata bitahiri. In the morning liturgy in Birchas HaShachar, we say, God, Elokai, my God, neshama shenasata bitahiri, the soul which you gave within me is pure. The soul which you gave within me, miklal, this means, sha'adam atzmei nenu aneshama atahiri. That the person himself, man himself, who is saying these words, is not identified with the pure soul. Neshama shenasata bi, there is a bi, there is an I. The soul that you have given, you have placed within me, that soul is pure. Who is the me? The me is the animal, egotistical, vital, worldly, and earthly soul. In that space, there is a divine consciousness. Kiyim b'tzadikim. This is different by tzadikim, except in the case of tzadikim, shebehem ulehepach. In their situation, it's the contrary. The contrary is true. Sheneshama tahatahereshi nefeshelikis huad. The pure soul, neshama tahereshi, which is the divine transcendental soul, that is the man himself. This is the man. The gufam nikra psar adam, while their body is called the flesh of man. It's the flesh of man, it's the corporal garment and expression of man, which is the divine transcendental soul. Ukamaimir hilalazakan latalmidov. This is expressed in what Hillel the elder would say to his disciples. When he went to eat, he would say, "So haylich ligmail chesed im haluva va'aniya," that he was going to do a favor, to do an act of kindness to the lowly and poor creature. Who gufay? And he meant his body. Because by him he regarded his body as a foreign thing. And therefore he used this expression, that he was doing it a favor by giving it food. For he himself was nothing other than the godly soul. Because it alone animated his body and flesh. For by the tzaddik, the negativity that was in the vital soul pervading his blood and flesh, Nishapich l'toiv has been transformed into good. V'nichlal b'gdushas nefesh elikis mamish b'tzadik. And has been completely and absolutely absorbed into the holiness of the divine soul. Aval b'beinani, but in the case of the beinani, me'ach hashem uhusav atzmusa shal nefesh achiyunis abahamis shemesitra akram alubetshas b'dama yupsar. Since the substance and essence of the vitalizing an animal soul stemming from the sitra akra, which pervades his flesh and blood, loy ne'epach l'toiv has not been transformed into holiness, into good. Harehi adam atzma. It indeed constitutes the man himself. There is a drastic difference between the consciousness, our own psychological and emotional structure as perceived in the Beinoni's life, which is every human, the ordinary human being, and in the tzaddik's life. What is life? Here is the difference between the Beinoni and the Tzaddik. And sometimes we are so indulged in our own limited perception, it's hard for us to understand another perception. In our condition, what is life? What is your identity? What do you feel? Today in the morning you woke up, you felt yourself. Can you define the self that you felt? Would anyone like to define that self? You feel yourself now, yeah? During the day, during the night, when you're consciously awake, you feel yourself. What is the definition of that self that you're experiencing? Zogt Alter Rebbe, in ordinary circumstances, that self is the perception of self, which is experienced in the persona of your animal soul, which the animal soul senses itself at the center of reality and its ambition and its focuses to preserve that self, to gratify that self, to inflate that self. The animal soul is an extremely self-centered creature whose focus is the self and the self-development and self-gratification and self-endurance and self-preservance and so forth. Then we come to the human being and say, you should know, embedded in that there is a deeper self, which is your true self, and your challenge in life is to reorient yourself with your deep space that might be deeply embedded. But naturally, what does he experience? What does he feel? He feels his nefesh abahamis. That's what he feels. You feel I, and you feel the I wants to exist, and the I wants to preserve, and the I wants to be comfortable and satiated and satisfied, and whatever that takes, I do. Then we come, we tell the Beinoni, listen, embedded in you there's a transcendental energy and a transcendental consciousness, which is idealistic, which is truly human, which is the source of your aspirations to something deeper, to something divine, and the synthesis and the harmony and the recognition of these two souls is your purpose in life. But what's the Adam Atzmai? The external consciousness is identified with the Nefesh HaBahamas. The deeper transcendental consciousness can often be relegated to the subconscious cells of your soul. True, it's deeper in you, it's truer in you. When push comes to shove at a moment of truth, Dr. Rebbe said earlier, every Jew is capable of dying for it. Because when the layers are removed, that comes out shining and sparkling in the deepest way. But on a day-to-day basis, the normal consciousness of his life is the animal, vital, natural, worldly, earthly soul, the egotistical sense of self. By the tzaddik, it's converse. By the tzaddik, the spiritual, godly consciousness, that is his consciousness, that is his reality. So, tzaddik Yaakov Avinu loy meis. Because if you're identified with that level of self, death is not an event, it's a change of clothes. From one pair of clothes to another pair of clothes. It's a relocation of positions. You move jobs, you change jobs. So by the Beinoni, who Adam Atzmi, he's very much identified with a distorted sense. The Klipa dynamic constitutes the very definition of his external consciousness. And therefore, crushing of the piece of log that's not allowing him to experience his emotions, which allows the fire to come in, by the Beinoni, that's very much connected with crushing, and we'll soon see what that means, with that very with something that's very much part of himself. That's why the Zohar says, you're crushing the Klipa. The Zohar says, you're crushing yourself, because by the Beinoni, the Klipa is the self. And this also is important for the Beinoni to understand, that there's a very big bubble in his life, namely self. Who are the Matzma? Let's learn a little bit more of Imkain. If so, since this is the case, that he is actually the animal soul. Neshama shenasata bi tahirihi, but who am I? I am the animal soul. Hu rachik mehashem betachlis harichuk. He is removed from Hashem with the utmost remoteness. Shari koya chamis avish benafshe ba'amis. For the lusting drive in his animal soul, Yachil Gamkin Lisavis Ludvarim Asurim, Shehim Neged Ritzoyne Yisbare, is capable of lusting also after forbidden things which are contrary to Hashem's will. Av Sheinim Isavil Asayisam Bepoyal Mamash Chas V'Sham. Even though he does not desire to do them in actual practice, God forbid. Yet they are not truly repulsive to him as they are to tzaddikim. As explained above in chapter 12, so in this very notion, he is inferior to and more abhorrent and abominable than unclean animals and insects and reptiles, as mentioned above in chapter 24, Ukamasha Kasav, as is written in Tehillim Perichov Bezva Naichi Selaz Vela Yishregaimer. But I am a worm and not a man, and when a man is a worm, he's worse than a worm. See, we take it lightly again. We have to. It's hard for us to even identify with what he's saying, and that's the greatest validation to what he's saying. The Beinoni is a man who doesn't sin. Even though he has all the cravings and lusts and urges of a man that sins. Now, the Beinoni, according to what has been explained in earlier chapters, is the man who creates such a deep mental fortress in his consciousness that he never experiences a lust and urge which goes and tells him to actually sin. It doesn't reach that level. But it does reach that level where he experiences a lust towards something. He thinks about the concept. He never considers actually going and doing it. But the very phenomenon is something that is desirable, that is a value, that is precious in his mind, and it comes into his mind as something good and positive, and something that would be fun and enjoyable, and immediately he has to push it out of his mind. And Alter Rebbe says, everyone can do it. When you have a lust or craving today that you know is unhealthy, the moment it enters your mind, and it tries to get you, it tries to connive you to entertain it and to meditate on it and then ultimately to do it, that moment you could immediately push it away. These thoughts come from his natural consciousness. So the Alter Rebbe said, this makes him lower than an insect, than a worm crawling your basement and your boiler room. Because that worm is incapable of entertaining a thought which is contrary to truth. A worm doesn't have free choice, an insect doesn't have a free choice. It's pre-programmed, and it senses, and it knows, and it responds to things based on its inherent creation. A human being has the unique element that his very consciousness allows him to experience reality from the perspective that totally obscures and denies the fact that this world is the intimate bedroom of God. As discussed in earlier chapters at length. And the Beinoni entertains this reality constantly. So, Hurachik me Hashem betachlis harichuk. And Alter Rebbe says this about the Beinoni. He is remote from Hashem with the utmost remoteness. This awareness, this frustration allows him to break the bubble and to allow godliness to pervade his consciousness. But it is a very powerful bubble. That's his conclusion. By a tzaddik, what's the adam atzmai? The divine perception of reality. By the Beinoni, not the divine perception of reality. The very fact that it's not abhorrent by you. These taivas, these cravings emerge in your mind, even if they don't enter into your mind to the extent that you gravitate towards them in an actual way. But the very notion that this is something which is significant, that the Beinoni has. This behavior, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in procreative issues, intimate issues, whether it's in business issues, a thought comes into his mind. Oh, this is good. This is exciting. This will allow me to enjoy life. An unhealthy craving. Yeah, this is exciting to you. That means there's a whole consciousness in you which is totally obscuring the true nature of reality, that there's nothing alive, there's nothing true save that which is an expression of spirituality and godliness. You see, that very notion is the deepest remoteness from the godly experience and makes them worse than insects, which don't have that. Anoichi selas, I'm a worm, but when I'm a worm, it's worse than a worm. Because I'm capable of not being a worm. By the tzaddik, it's the adverse. It's the converse. Hillel, the medrash he brings is Vayikra Rabba, Parsha Lamed Aleph. Hillel would learn with his students. Hillel the elder. They would finish. Every single day he would say the same thing. Okay, boys, have a great day. I'm now going to do a favor and to express kindness to the guest that's staying in my home. One day he said it. Another day he said it. Finally, one of the Bachim turns to him, Rebbe, well, every day you have guests. He says, what? My body is not a guest in my home. I'm going to express kindness to my body. In Medrash, actually, when you look there, Vayikra Rabba, it says, my soul is not a guest. But as the Alter Rebbe is interpreting it, it's referring to the vitalizing soul, to the animating soul, which is connected to the body. What is Hillel saying, essentially? When you go eat dinner, that's what you feel. You're going to do a favor to a guest. You're going to help a foreign element, a foreign tourist. Obviously not. This is you, this is me. But by the tzaddik, no. The I is the spiritual consciousness. I once told you, let's say you're tired and you want to go to sleep, you have a headache. You're scared you're going to forget Ma'ariv, so you ask your friend to wake you up in 2 hours to have a Ma'ariv. In yeshiva, it happens a lot. It's natural, right? Did you ever see a bach who didn't eat all day, but he has a headache, he wants to nap, so he goes over to his friend and he says, listen, I didn't eat. I'm scared that I'm going to forget to eat tonight. So therefore, wake me up in 2 hours, I should eat. Doesn't happen. Why? Because your stomach is a very good reminder. You don't need an outside alarm clock. By the tzaddik, Ma'ariv is like supper. The soul needs Ma'ariv. I need dinner. By him, Ma'ariv is like dinner. It's even more than dinner. Because dinner is nourishing an outside force, which is important in order that you should live physically. Ma'ariv is nourishing me. You see, so by the tzaddik, everything is perceived from a soul perspective. You know how much depth there is in living such a way. Even his cravings, his lusts, are all a product from how the soul perceives reality. We are sometimes so foreign from it, a craving comes into you in the middle of the night, wherever you are. That very craving, first of all, that's a Beinoni. First of all, we often entertain it. come in. It can even lead to action. And that's very natural. That's the normal course of events in the human being's consciousness and notion. We don't even begin identifying with what he's saying. Even the Beinoni, who right away identifies it, this is coming from the Nefesh HaBahamas, don't fall prey to it. It's a shell, it's a husk. Dr. Rebbe says the very fact that your consciousness naturally, instinctively produces this, this demonstrates the depth of the remoteness of the Beinoni from godliness, from spirituality. So what's the conclusion? The shell is identified with him, and that must be crushed and broken. Even when his divine soul gathers strength within him to arouse his love of Hashem during prayer, the Beinoni also has those moments when his whole consciousness is enthused by spirituality, when he doesn't entertain a klipa notion as something favorable and desirable. Then he only wants godliness and spirituality. He says, "Ein be'emes lamiti legamri." This predominance of the divine soul is not altogether genuine. Since it is transient and vanishes after prayer, as mentioned earlier in chapter 13, the definition of truth, he said, there is eternity. If someone places you, God forbid, someone places us, God forbid, in a lion's den, and you're sitting near Mr. Lion, you don't have to meditate every 10 minutes a meditation which will arouse fear in you. You don't have to meditate upon it. The very presence there is so vivid, it's so conspicuous. Once you're fear, you don't have to bring back that fear anymore. The tzaddik doesn't need davening to love Hashem. The Beinoni needs davening every day. It's taka deep madrega for the Beinoni. The Alter Rebbe said for the Beinoni it's true, but relative to genuine truth, it's transient. So therefore his natural condition is an egotistical one. His natural consciousness is a klipa one, a sitracheru one. O befrat kishe yizkir tumas nafshi bechatas norim. This is even a Beinoni in his present state, in his present condition. Especially if he calls to mind the contamination of his soul, Bechatas Nur, with the sin of youth. Vahabgam Sha'asa Bel Yainim, and the blemish he has wrought thereby in the supernal world. In the ethical, Kabbalistic, and Hasidic literature, Chatas Nurim, the sin of youth, is usually identified with the wasteful omission of the procreative element substances in the human being's life. And this issue is extremely significant in the Jewish mystical literature, as well as in Gemara, it's discussed at length, because from the Hasidic point of view, this element is the deepest element in the human soul. Everybody knows, the Alter Rebbe explains, that the enjoyment connected with the procreative elements of a human being's life is an overwhelming joy which doesn't have its comparison in anything else in this world. All taivas and cravings and lusts pale in comparison to the overwhelming enjoyment in this area, and therefore in this area there's the greatest distortion of values and the greatest corruption and the greatest joy, and everything is connected with this area of life. Well, Rebbe says, why? Here you see what Chassidus is. Here you see the contribution of Chassidus. Because of its awesomely godly nature. The only experience in life where you cease to be human and you become godlike is in that act where the human being is given the strength of God to create life, and to create life which will create another life and another life onto eternity. Everything we do is human. You eat humanly, you pray humanly, your business is human. It's finite, it's limited, it's human. There is one area in life where we cease to be human, and we assume the properties of a creator. And it's that godly nature that gives this, that gives intimacy its mystique. Treating that element in a wasteful way, in an abusive way, without any purpose, without any mission, from the Hasidic perspective, is the deepest perversion of the soul, the very deep abuse to the soul. It's called Chatzis Norim, because usually in young life, this is a very powerful issue, as everyone knows. A Yid once came, a young man, he was married, but he was a young man, once came to the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe was the son of the Alter Rebbe, who succeeded him in the leadership of Chabad. And he lamented to him about his struggles in this area, his deep struggles and battles. So the Mittler Rebbe rolled up the sleeve of his long black coat and then of his shirt, and this man saw that his whole hand was swollen. It was terribly swollen. And the Mittler Rebbe said, "Das kommt von dein Chatzis Norim." This is a result of your own Chatzis Norim, of your apathy, of your carelessness in this area. Because a real Rebbe is intertwined with the souls of his Chassidim. So what occurs in the Chassid's life affected him. The Mittler Rebbe tried to demonstrate him that what you do has a toll on me. I feel it. I feel it, what you're doing. And obviously this itself gave him a whole new dosage of energy and strength to overcome it. Because one of the issues in Averis is that when you do private things, you think it doesn't affect anyone. Alter Rebbe says, if you're abusing your soul, have rachmanis on your soul. But physically, it's not affecting anyone. If you know that it's going to harm someone, you don't do it. You don't do it. We're mentioned. We're half a mention, yeah. So, Chatzis Norim is a serious thing. So the Alter Rebbe says when he'll remember this, and he'll remember also the blemish that this occurs, this achieves in the higher worlds. V'sham hu l'mayla mehazman. And everything in the higher world is timeless. So ki'ilu pagam v'nitma ayim chas v'shalom amash. So it's as if he had caused the blemish and defiled himself this very day. Because even what you did a year ago, or 10 years ago, 15 years ago, in a realm which is timeless and spaceless, it's as if it happened today. Because it doesn't operate in the mode of time. But afshik farasa tshuva nechayin. He's a bein, and even though he already has repented sincerely, he did tshuva, he did good tshuva. He did an appropriate tshuva, that's why he's a beinoni. So the Alter Rebbe, true. So the pgam is not there anymore, the blemish is not there. Hare ikra tshuva belev. The essence of tshuva is in the heart. It's not just a verbalization of certain words. It's a heart experience. V'halev yesh b'pchinis madreges rabbis. And in the heart there are many distinctions and levels. And therefore, you can experience tshuva on one level of the heart, but in a higher level of the heart was untouched yet. And everything depends on what kind of man he is, and on the time and space as is known to the knowing. Reality is defined in Kabbalah. The whole Sefer Yetzirah is based on Ashan. Olam Shana Nefesh, space, time, and the soul that occupies it. The human being changes, the time changes, and its place changes. When you change, sometimes a deeper level of tshuva is required. When the space is different, when the timing is different, and so on and so forth, there are fluctuations in our life. We're not robotic and one-dimensional. So since the heart is multidimensional, multifaceted, multi-leveled, and so forth, often I have done tshuva a year ago based on my condition at that time, based on my psychological situation. A year passed, I grew. Life has had its course. I mean, different things happen, and then the tshuva of then does not suffice for today. V'lachein, therefore, achshav b'shazu. Now at this time, when he observes himself and he sees that the light of the soul is not penetrating into him, miklal, this demonstrates that today his tshuva has not been accepted, and his transgressions still separate him from godliness. And therefore he has to do a deeper tshuva stemming from a deeper dimension in the heart. Or the Alter Rebbe says, or it's possible that really his tshuva was complete, but there is desired that he be raised. It's desired that he be raised to a more sublime level of tshuva, a tshuva, a higher level, coming from a point yet deeper in his heart, and therefore Hashem imposes upon him this blockage to evoke within him a new, deeper level of tshuva, even though the previous one was complete. And therefore, he has this struggle of Timtum Alev, which he has to get rid of. For this reason, King David says, my heart is void within me, even though he himself said, my heart is void within me. I'm sorry. David says, V'chatasi negdi samet. And Tehillim, he says, Tehillim kuf tes. I'm sorry, in Tehillim Nun Aleph, we say it in Krishna. In Tehillim Nun Aleph, David HaMelech says, my sin is constantly before me. Even though he himself says in Tehillim Kuf Tes, V'libi Chalal B'kibi, my heart is void within me. Because nevertheless, the heart has many, many dimensions. And when you reach a new level, the tshuva that is required from you is also a deeper tshuva, even though a year ago or yesterday or an hour ago this was perfect. Nevertheless, your heart has many levels and you change. So for now, the previous tshuva not necessarily suffices. And that very same sin, previously it was totally forgiven and removed, but now you're sensitive to it and now you have to do tshuva for it. So therefore, even past issues of the Beinoni do play a significant role in today's day when he's experiencing a numbness of the heart. Sometimes, when you're on a certain level, you're insensitive to something, and that's not an issue in your life. When you become more sensitive, it suddenly becomes an issue. I heard once from someone that he used to eat junk food. He would eat a lot of junk food. And then one day he decided, together with his wife, they are going to begin eating healthy. And for a month they were consistent. Tofu, soy milk, grains and so forth. Really consistent. After a month, they decided one night, okay, let's congratulate ourselves for our achievement. Tonight, we're going to eat our old, memorable dinners that have been robbed away from us during the past month. And they ate a dinner filled with junk food like they used to eat, may Allah make them. Says, that night we both had devastating stomach aches that we never had, and we could not understand. We ate this food for years after years, we never felt sick. And we felt terribly sick. So he calls his holistic doctor, who gave him the diet initially. And the doctor says, in the past, you were so sick. You were so sick that your body didn't even have the strength to say that you're sick. Today, you have nourished yourself. Your body became healthy enough to scream, to shout. It's rejecting the notion that you can feed it junk food. Same is true in a person's psychological self. Certain things that are not an issue in the past, you're not sensitive to them, you become sensitive to them. Your heart becomes more developed things touch it. You have people, you become very sensitive to even little things that then were absolutely nothing and valueless and insignificant. That's the nature. And then the very same issue for which tshuva sufficed in the past does not suffice now. Now you have to re-examine that and recreate yourself on a deeper level, but now the healing will also be deeper. So the Beinoni doesn't have to think the past tshuva was worthless. Rather, now there's a new struggle because he reached a new plateau, a new level, a new domain in his life, and he has to heal himself on that level. He has to take it to the new level, and then this new Timtuma level will be eradicated. And so it continues in man's journey in life. And this is the Alter Rebbe will continue soon. The Alter Rebbe continues on this theme till the conclusion of the chapter. But this is the primary method he employs to deal with Timtum HaLev. It's coming from a shell that is obscuring the natural flow of the fire of your soul and your heart, which would usually be stimulated by this, and that bubble must be crushed, it must be removed. And that removal allows a new flow of divine energy into the human consciousness, as the Alter Rebbe will continue to discuss in the continuation of the chapter. Have a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.